have your Bibles this morning. Great Proverbs. One of the greatest Proverbs sort of fits in with our theme for Family Month, Proverbs 3. And want to draw your attention, Proverbs 3, probably one of the most famous verses in the Scriptures. I see it from time to time on license plates. I see somebody in our church that had Proverbs 3, 5, and we met later on, somebody that had Proverbs 3, 6, or it's reversed. So notice, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days. Now, this will fit in with the Sunday morning message. So notice, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee by taking to heart the commandments of your parents. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Always keep mercy, being better to people than they deserve, and truth, honesty, integrity in your heart. Bind them about thy neck. Now, the neck is considered to be one of your most protected things, because you can get hung. You can a small slice can drain all the blood out of your body. So he says, bind them about your neck. Keep it in a place where it's very treasured. Notice, and then write them on the table of thine heart. Then he goes spiritually speaking and says, put it in your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. You'll have favor. People will respect you. People will look up to you. And you'll notice he says, and understanding. You'll have the ability to sort through things and get clarity. How precious is that for all of us? To be able to get a problem sorted through and get to the plan of God. Notice, if you would, verse number 4, in the sight of God and man. So there'll be people that will look at you with respect because of your balanced approach to life. You see something, you don't jump the gun, you don't lose your temper, you're balanced, you reason through it. You sort it out according to what your principles are, and you come to a clarity. You understand and say, this is what I'm going to do, and here's why. So many people make decisions just on the moment. They purchase on the moment. They get up and do things on the moment. It's not according to principles. All of us must live according to principles. If you've ever seen a house, when we were in the Amazon, they had a TV, and for all the things they had, you could watch soccer of 8,000 different teams all over the world. Any kind of soccer game you wanted, it was soccer, ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all soccer. Or you could watch HDTV. Yeah. Would you like to have this kind of countertop? Would you like to have this kind of storage? Would you like to buy this house? Would you like to remodel this place? And, you know, one of the things in there was this one lady that goes through, and, of course, they're speaking Spanish, so you can't read anything, and we're so exhausted, we're just looking for something just sort of lay down and kind of hear, and you hear, blah, 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 and you go off to sleep. You know, it's pretty, pretty nice. And so, but you look up, and this lady is taking this person's belongings. And it looks like they just had all their packing from a move thrown into this room. And so I would never want somebody to come into my house like that. I'd want it in order. And so this lady, they paid to come in and say, what should we do with that? How can we fix that? There's a lot of people with life that have no principle order in their life. How many of you lose things all the time? Don't raise your hand. But there are some people that lose things rarely because they have a place for things. How many of you have a place where you normally put your purse or your wallet or your shoes? You have a place. Raise your hand. Okay? You live by a certain order. Spiritually, we learn as we grow in Christ to live by spiritual order. So where are those principles that provide our order? The commands of Scripture, commands of our parents. So we're to take the Word of God as adults and teach them to our children so that our children have some form of, why do I pick up my room? Why do I put things in a certain place? Why does it matter if I just come in and throw my stuff on the floor? Because the Lord has every step. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. So if the Lord counts every step and orders every step, do you think he is so disordered that he doesn't care how you live in your house? How you live your life? No. He knows the number of days that you're going to live. He knows the number of thoughts that you're going to think. He knows where you're sitting. Psalm 139, thou hast seen the city, you see my sitting, my downrising, and my uprising. He knows where you're sitting today. And so he has everything in your life ordered for your benefit, for my benefit. Now, we have to choose those things. So when we just moved into the house before we left for the mission trip. So we're still in boxes, but the first thing we want to do is fix the closet. I said, I like the closet. She said, well, we don't have enough organization in there. So could you take these down, brand new house, tear these out, patch the holes, paint it, and then put up these new shelves. And so she said, but we just need more place to hang our clothes. And she was right. I mean, she kept bringing clothes from the Salvation Army, from the, every different places. I think she went to Macy's and took their free-for-all sale, everything that's left. I mean, we just kept bringing clothes. I said, how many more clothes you got? I mean, we just, the whole closet. And then she started on mine. And I said, that's mine? Wow, where did I get all those shirts? Where did I get all those suits? And we got them all packed up. And you go in, it's all orderly. It's great. Have a place to put my wallet. Have a place to put my keys. So if I lose them, it's my fault. You know, I didn't put them in the right spot. Well, you'll notice here. Now watch this next phrase. Look here. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. People respect you and you'll be favored because people see that you live by principle. It's not just whatever you feel like in one day. You can count on people that live by principle. Because you know what they're going to do. They live based upon a certain set of guidelines in their own life. Now, notice if you would in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. How many of you sometimes just don't understand everything that God's doing in your life? Okay? That's when he says, trust in the Lord. Notice, with all thine heart. He wants you to trust him as your heavenly father, like you train your children to trust you. You go to the doctors and say, honey, you got to take this medicine. It's best for you. How many of you ever had to hold your kid's nose and turn them back and try to pour it down their gullet just to get them to take it? You know what I'm talking about? Because you know what's best for them. But isn't it nice whenever you say, now look, this will hurt a little bit, but it'll make you well. Take this shot. And maybe they got a shot of antibiotic or something. They're very sick. And they go over like this, okay. Or they're climbing all over everything and you're having to get two nurses to hold them down while you give them the shot. Which one's best? Well, the Lord looks at you and I and says, trust me with all your heart. Take all your doubts and throw them away and trust me. Now look what he says in verse 6. In all thy ways... So he says, look, in every direction that you go, whether it's a financial direction or spiritual direction or physical direction or whatever it is, he says, in all thy ways, acknowledge me. put me first. Now, somebody tell me, just when you say acknowledge something, what do you think he's speaking there? Consider what the Lord wants you to do first. That's what he said in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The question was, they were trying to look at all the things that they wanted. I want this and I want that. And he says, look. He said, Solomon in all of his glory was not arranged like one lily. How beautiful the lily is that God made, that's one day here and one day gone. He said, don't you think you're of much more value than the lilies are? He said, seek the Lord first and his righteousness. So right here he's saying the same thing in the Old Testament. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lord, I want to put you first in my decision on buying this new car. Lord, I want to put you first in my decision on buying this new dress, this new suit. Lord, I want to put you first. I don't think most of the time we pray about everything that we do. Well, I need to go get this or I need. How many have ever gone grocery shopping and bought things you didn't need? Raise your hand. Did you pray about it first? Well, grocery shop, Pastor, it's just grocery shopping. The Lord said the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Did you walk down an aisle to buy that stuff? Well, the Lord said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see, we don't really trust him and consider him and his direction and his needs first. Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do today. Lord, you help me. Lord, give me the direction you want me to go and my family, and I'll do it. Notice what he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, how do you want me to do it? Now then notice what he says. He says, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. I'll show you what to do. I'll show you the direction to go. You're considering a new job. You're considering how to handle a certain situation within your family. Look, if you'll acknowledge me, Lord, what do you want? Now, let's take just a minute. What does acknowledge mean to many of us? We're going to sit down and just take that word apart. When you acknowledge someone, what do? Somebody tell me. Some things that you do when you acknowledge. Now, put it into spiritual perspective. If you're going to think about the Lord, you're going to consider him, what would be one thing you'd do if you're going to acknowledge him in your decision? Right here.
You're going to ask him about everything.
You're going to ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do about this? You're going to seek his opinion, okay? Something else. You're going to listen to him. But if we don't ask and listen, he can't direct. So everything that you do. Now take your Bible and turn to Psalm 37. If you would. Psalm 37. I want you to notice. Psalm 34, I'm sorry. Psalm 34. Notice with me if you would. Psalm 34. How many of you believe I'm just a little off today? It's Psalm 37, okay? Psalm 37. Notice if you would. In verse 3, and follow with me, trust in the Lord, the same exact thing of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, he'll provide for you that which you need. Well, then notice, if you would, look down verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, wait just a minute. But the way he orders your steps. And there's two things about order. Number one, it has a plan to it. There's a plan to it. But number two, there's a purpose for it. In other words, the plan is that you would go this direction. You would take this many steps. But the purpose is that you would get. So let me just back up a little bit on the mission trip. The plan is you get on this flight, and this flight. For the purpose of what? Of helping the missionary. Did you know we went to this missionary? He's been there 13 years. He has established, I believe, 6 or 8 churches. We didn't get a chance to go but 2 of them. But he was up working in the top of his ceiling, and the top of his ceiling is about as high as that beam right there at the bottom of the beam, 32 feet up. And he fell off a ladder, it broke, and he fell straight down onto a piece of concrete floor. And the doctor said 89% of those people die from the fall. Now, that happened a year and a half ago. His second floor of his building and part of the first floor, steps to get to the second floor, unfinished. Second floor is unfinished. And he's got a pretty cool design. It was like if you were to take this part of the auditorium and take the center section out, he had, this was a second floor. It was open all the way around like a balcony, all the way around the thing, but there's no way to get up there because he had fallen, couldn't get there. And they have Sunday school classrooms around there and in a fellowship room there and couldn't get there. And so they hadn't used the building. And nobody came to help. He said, he came to me and to Brother Brandon and he said, I just want you guys to know you're the first group that's ever come to help me. I just want to say thank you. And there were two missionaries there. And they were ecstatic. As a matter of fact, Thursday night, the last night, we'd already packed up our tools. They had an ice cream social just so everybody could see what was done. And said, now Sunday night, we're going to open it all up and everybody be there. And they were just so excited. They just needed to get it all cleaned up the way they wanted. They had some old bricks and sand and some concrete and rocks up on the top that they had put up there a long time ago, but couldn't get it down. So they were so excited about it. But here is this guy that falls 32 feet and nobody goes to help. Now, we had planned to go there last year, but COVID had come back and they wouldn't let us come. And so keep in mind, you look at it, three flights were there. What's the purpose? To help people that really can't help themselves that much. To help a missionary that needs help. God's plan is, I've got these people that need to be saved. I've got these two young boys or girls, or a boy and a girl I've put into your family. I have plans for them down here, but you have to lead them right. There are steps that we take. One of the steps is being in a good church. One of the steps is having your devotions. One of the steps is your power in prayer. And so, but the purpose is, God says, I got a plan for those are my children. But you have to lead them to me. I need them to be saved and surrendered. So notice, if you would, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And here's the part that every one of us in this room want for our children. And he delighteth in his way. How many of you want happy children? Children that are doing the will of God and they're enjoying it. There were children there. They had all these missionaries. I guess probably six children, five or six, seven children between the two families. And, you know, I want to go to Bible college and I want to come back and kind of help my dad or work in an area like this. And you know, I mean, you just sense there was this, I know the Lord's got a purpose for me. I'm just seeking the next step. Where does he want me to go to school? What does he want my major to be? Because they know that God has a plan for them. But right now, I just want to sing in church. One of the sons is homeschooled. He said, Dad, could I work with the men? Could I help them? He's 16 years old. Could I just work with them and help them some? And he said, well, son, you got your schooling. He says, well, Mom, is there something I could do? She said, if you got all of next week's schooling done in advance, I'd let you work with them in if they wanted you to work. He said, really? And so keep in mind, what he does is he gets in for 2 or 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, he does 4 weeks' work. So that morning, we get there. Saturday morning, he's there. Oh, I get to work with him in. I get to help participate getting this building fixed my dad couldn't do. Do you understand that God has a purpose for everybody in this room, and he wants us to enjoy our steps? If you want happy children, the best thing that you can do is teach them that God has steps for you. You follow them, and he's going to give you joy. And he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, you've got to teach your children they're going to make mistakes, but they ask the Lord to forgive them. They ask other people to forgive them. They learn to apologize. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the same person that directed this step said, I've got you in the palm of my hand. Now, let's go back over to Proverbs chapter number 3, and I want you to notice this. Look with me, if you want, in verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But now, most people, how many of you, wait, now look up at me. How many of you know anything about the next verse? It is this. It is the warning to the contrary. We never talk about this. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But we don't tell him the alternative. Look what it says. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Children, don't do just what you think. Adults, don't buy just the house that you think's best for you. Pray about it. Trust him. Let him direct your paths. Now let me ask this question. How many of you knew and went to the old property in Ashford? How many of you like, remember that? Okay. How many of you like that property better than this property? You know what? When the Lord directs your steps, you'll always end up in the best place for you. And he'll make it where you delight in your way. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some difficulties. But he said, though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down if you trust in him with all your heart. I mean, the access here is so much easier. The visibility here is so much easier. I mean, the cost here, I mean, the way the Lord worked it all out, it was like, wow, Lord, you are so wise. Thank you. But he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Well, yeah, but that piece out there was, you know, when we bought it, it was blah, 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 blah. And we look at it and say, but Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. I can tell you there were some very disappointing times in my heart over the last many years with trying to get all this to work what the Lord wants. But the Lord's way is always perfect. And notice with me, if you would, he says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Remind your children, it always comes back, respect the Lord. What does the Lord want? Lord, are you okay with this? Each step of the way, okay, I took 2 or 3 steps, I prayed about it. Lord, is this okay? Is this what you want? Fear the Lord. And notice what he says in the next phrase. And depart from evil. All of us, our flesh gets involved in things we do. And the reason he says, look, take a few steps and pray about it. Take a few steps. Lord, is this okay with you? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Pray about it. Listen. Obey it. Notice what he says. Look here in verse number 8. It shall be health to thy navel. It is an old English way to say it'll be great for your digestive system. Notice what he says, and marrow to thy bones, and make you strong and healthy. If you'll acknowledge the ways of the Lord, it'll be good for you. But you have to acknowledge him. Now, notice, and as he's going down, he says, in all thy ways, in verse 6, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Okay, but now we looked at, he'll give you the direction you ought to go, and then he says, the steps are ordered by the Lord. But some of those steps are repetitive. And when I say that, when you come to church, what are some of the repetitive steps in worship? Singing, praying, attending, giving. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Everybody wants to jump to that. Hey, you want to be blessed? Give to the Lord and he'll bless you. But they don't go back to where it all started. Parents, teach your children the commands of God. Teach them in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, it's not just money. It's your direction. It's your goal. It's what God wants you to do. If you want your children to be happy, get them in the will of God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. That's the goal of a parent. But that's also the goal of every person in this room. How many of you has your life taken some twists and turns? You're older, and you didn't realize God was still working in your life. Well, he's never finished with you. A week ago, how many of you heard Dr. Jim Lyons? You've heard me tell the story of Dr. Jim Lyons. Before I came here, he was sort of a mentor of mine because he was like the father that the perfect father. He loved his wife. He was an evangelist. He won people to Christ. He wrote a tract, a little green tract, on how to lead people to Christ. Now, that little tract, I can show it to you after church, in between church and Sunday school. But that little track in it has the steps of salvation. He just went and took scripture and put it in a little booklet form for someone to use to lead someone else to Christ. It's very clear. It's very simple. But then after someone has been born again, after they've trusted Christ as Savior, you can give them a little booklet. They can sign at the bottom of it and say, I trusted Christ on this date. And they got the plan where they trusted Christ as Savior. He was always very orderly, very, very consistent with things. I would go to his house, and in one room of his house, he had a treadmill. Now, keep in mind, he was exercise every day. He would take supplements, or he would make sure he had the proper vitamins in his life, he and his wife. I pray for him every day. Well, he passed away 2 weeks ago. 95. 2 days short of 95. I thought he'd live a long time because he did things right and the Lord promised long life to someone like that. But that little green booklet, now I want to just get you to understand, the Lord's plan is like this. But it always ends up in the perfect spot. The young man came to our church 20-something years ago, 25 years ago, going the wrong direction. Sort of a messed up life, discouraged. Long story short, I got a chance to lead him to Christ with that little green booklet. I took the little green booklet and I said, okay, come over here. And I sat down with him and I went through the plan of salvation and said, now you need the Lord. Do you realize I do? I want to ask him to forgive me. I said, bowed his head and prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Well, that young man began to grow. And to grow. And to grow. And then he's late 20s, maybe early 30s, maybe. He says, Pastor, he said, I think I'd like to get married and have a family. I said, well, you know, you got to pray about that and ask the Lord to give you the right one. I'm praying about it. I want to go to college, Bible college. And so he registered at Pensacola to finish his degree. He did. And he met Dr. Lyons' granddaughter. And they started dating, and pretty soon, the father called me and said, what about this guy? I said, well, he's a great guy. He's just been saved about 3 or 4 years, but he's really growing in the Lord. Well, he said, okay, you can spend some time with her. They got married, had three children. At Dr. Lyon's funeral, that son-in-law, grandson-in-law, got up and said, I want to tell you a story. Dr. Lyons has been so faithful his whole life. This little green booklet here, he still had the one that he got saved with in his possession, marked. He said, I may not know Christ. We're not for Papa's faithfulness. He said, do you realize that the Lord used one of Dr. Lyon's young preacher boys? Before I came to Temple, I came here and preached. I said, Brother Jim, would you pray for me? Because I don't know where the Lord wants us, but we were looking at two or three different churches. And actually, I was looking at a church in Mesquite, Texas. Mesquite, how many have ever had a Mesquite grilled anything? It is wonderful. Well, Mesquite, Texas. I wanted to go there. At least I'd know I'd die happy with my food, okay? And there was a church there looking for a pastor. And you know what it did on the day I was to preach? It snowed in Texas. Well, that's a pretty good indication. I don't want you going there, okay? So I never even went to the church. And then the Lord called up here. I said, Brother Jim, I said, you know, it's a long way away from home. It's 1,000 miles, Brother Jim, 1,200-1,500 miles. I said, and it's close to New York, Brother Jim. It's within a few hours of New York. I don't know if I can live there. He said, look, Dave, he said, look, you just do what the Lord tells you to do. He'll guide your steps. So we were praying about it. You know the story. We prayed, Lord, show us clearly. The Lord showed us clearly. We came here on his advice. I wouldn't reject it out of hand. I'd really pray about it. Pray about your decision. You got to trust him. I'll trust him. I remember Susan cried when they said, we'd like for you to come be our pastor. And I think she cried every day for the first year, pretty close. Because it's not Texas. And the day she missed, I did, probably, because it was really rough at the beginning, okay? And then the Lord, you know, began to bless, and just so many good things and so many wonderful things. And I look back, and then this young man, Chris, comes along, and he gets saved. And Dr. Lyons doesn't know much about all this, but the Lord's plan was to get David Pittman to Northern Virginia because God's got a son-in-law for his granddaughter. And now, you want to know who took over the ministry of that little green booklet around the world? And the 17,000 people that have been saved through the tract ministry of Dr. Lyons. That young man that was saved for that green tract. You see, God's steps are perfect. But what would happen if Brother Jim says, I don't have time to write that track. I'm not even going to fool with that. What would have happened if I would have said no? What would have happened if Brother Jim would have said, look, Dave, I think you should stay around the area here. I think that's what you should do. What if he would have used the wrong principles to give me advice? And I'll be frank with you, one other thing is I was really struggling. Brother Jim, I don't know. I really love Susan, and I don't know if I have the capacity to love someone else. He said, well, you trust the Lord to give you a love. You met someone else. Well, yeah, we met, and it was about Janet. And I said, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. I want your perfect will. And Brother Jim was the one that encouraged me to go forward. I said, Brother Jim, thank you. I called him the other day. I said, Brother Jim, thank you so much. It's just, she's been such a blessing. You know, I wish she had more money, but she, other than that, she was all right, you know, a great blessing. And we would laugh and cut up, and that was the last conversation I had with him, just thanking him really for his advice and his counsel. But then when the funeral came, I couldn't make it. There's that snowstorm that happened. I said, oh, my. I'd even forgotten I'd led the guy to Christ. I'd forgotten I'd used the green little booklet. But he didn't. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in them. I wish you could have heard all of his grandchildren were his pallbearers. I wish you could have heard their testimonies. A preacher here and a preacher there, pastor here and a son-in-law here that works. I'm talking about Chris Bell. You know, Chris Bell could fix anything. And he got up and he says, well, I've become the family fixer-upper. Nobody else can do anything. This whole family, all they can do is read the Bible and do what's right, but they can't fix anything. And he said, so they just call me to fix their computers and to fix their, you know. And he said, and I'm so grateful the Lord has provided me in such a wonderful family and given me such a great wife. All because one man said, I'm choosing this direction. And I'm going to make it stick. And he sang, I Have So Many Million Years, on his 93rd birthday, and they recorded it. They played it at his funeral. I've got so many million years to thank the Lord for his goodness. Well, he does now. I just want to tell you, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but only if in all thy ways acknowledge him, you put him first. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd help us to do that which you want us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.